Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless you tonight, Father. We do thank you for all things. I do praise you and exalt you. For you said that everything that had breath, praise you, Yahweh. And we bless you. And we thank you. Hallelujah. Now let the ears of your people hear the word tonight. Their souls may be strengthened by the pure word of Yahweh. We thank you. We bless you for all things. Give your manservant the anointing to speak as you direct him by the Kudush Ruah, the Spirit, Father. We thank you tonight. We bless you for all things. In Yeshua's mighty name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yahweh bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. What a good thing to give thanks unto the Father. And I certainly do not want that anointing to be taken from me. For if we will not cry out, then the rocks will cry out and bless him. And I'm very grateful for the vocal apparatus to be able to bless him. And to be able to thank him each day. And sincerely, I thank him for that. It has given me the awareness and the heart and the mindset whereby I desire to bless him and to thank him. When I think of all of his goodness, if that is the expression that I can use, my soul rejoices, my heart flutters with gladness. For I know what he has done for me. He has written my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that alone is sufficient. That alone is sufficient. I'm glad to come into his presence to hear what thus saith Yahweh, and that he may speak from the chronicles of the pages of Scripture. And he may impart into me the light of that truth, that it may be a guiding light that directs me closer and closer to him. And that is what Scripture does. It brings us closer to the Father. The more we learn of him, the more we are excited about him. And the more excited we are about him, the more we want to know of him. And the more we know of him, the more we desire to know him. And that is what is going to take in this hour. And not with some religious movement or some fleshly feel, is going to take a profound revelation of his truth. And that is that the light of his truth comes alive so deeply in our souls that there is nothing to live for or to expect but this truth revealed unto us. So we sell everything that we may ascertain, obtain this great jewel or the great pearl that Scripture reveals unto us. Now, in this hour, the reason that many cannot receive certain things from Yahweh, because of their own spirit, because of rebelliousness. We know that rebelliousness is as the sin of witchcraft. And when a man is stubborn, it is like idolatry and iniquity. Well, how does these things, or how do they come about? It's because when we reject the word of Yahweh, then it opens our hearts for every kind of vile, unclean thing it is. And then we began to walk in a way that is contrary to his word. It is one thing that we know for sure that in order for us to walk correctly before him, we must go to Scripture. And Scripture will instruct us. And anything outside of the parameter of Scripture then is wrong. It cannot be based upon my opinion or my tradition or my concept or my stature. It must be based upon Scripture. And so anything outside of the context of Scripture, it is wrong. You take, for example, the world keeps Sunday as a Shabbat. Well, that's wrong because it's outside of the text of Scripture. It cannot do that. Scripture gives us instruction as to what things we ought to do and how to do those things. And so anything outside of the context of Scripture, it is wrong. I want to begin something because I want to open your hearts to a simple truth tonight. It's a simple truth. I believe that everything that he always says, he has not hidden it from his people. Now what causes the things of Yahweh not to become fruitful in our lives is because of our own sins and our inability to receive what he says. For he speaks up here and we're always down here. And so the only way we're going to come up here to what he says is have the mind of Messiah. Instead of having a carnal fleshly mind, we need the mind of Messiah. Well, what mind is that? Well, that mind must learn obedience. Well, how does the mind learn obedience? Well, by the things that it suffered, endures, the trials and the tribulation. Yet he was a son, though he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And so all sons learn obedience by the very trial, the tribulation and the affliction of their sonship to identify who they truly are. So anything in light of Scripture, Scripture will be a witness to that. If it's not in light of Scripture or it doesn't bring light to Scripture, and if Scripture does not shine light on that, then it is wrong. That's just the bottom line. That's just the bottom line. I want to establish something here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. It's a very simple truth tonight. I like simple things. I like the same things over and over. I have no compunction with things like that. I can sing the same songs. I just simply use different words, but I don't have to have anything fancy. I like things very simple. Shaul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, he said unto Timothy for his strength and encouragement, he said, now Timothy, you know this, that as from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures. Do you believe the scriptures are holy? Do you believe that that book that you're holding in your hand, do you believe that it is holy? Do you believe that the scriptures are holy? Do you believe the scriptures are holy? He said, from a child thou hast known, not the scripture now. He said, the holy scripture. The holy. The scripture is holy. The scriptures are holy. He said, you have known the holy scripture. Scriptures. What are they? Which are able to make thee wise. That is what they're able to do, scripture. It is able to make us wise. That's why we must study scripture. It is able to make you wise unto salvation. That you may understand the salvation of Yahweh through faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yahweh. So it is able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Yeshua Messiah. Now that is the hope of salvation. It is in the very revelation of Yeshua, the anointed one of Yahweh. He is the salvation of Yahweh. It is not in some pagan Luciferian names and titles that have obscured the very profound manifestation of the Father. He said, now that is what Holy Scripture is. Reveal the purpose of Yahweh's plan. Now you have faith in what Messiah has done as being the word of Yahweh. It gives us assurance in that hope of what salvation is. But you must understand who he is and know who he was to understand who sent him and the plan of salvation given unto man. We must understand that. The scriptures are holy. The scriptures are holy. He says in verse 16, it is either the truth or it has false implications. He said, now some scriptures given by... Now, all scripture is given by the inspiration. It is inspired. It is inspired by Yahweh. It is not inspired by man, but all scripture. All scripture. What is he saying, all scripture? He means the book here. He means the book that you hold. The Torah. He said, and the covenant, and the new covenant. All scripture is given by the inspiration of Yahweh. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Now, any time we're walking in something that is contrary to Scripture, then Scripture corrects us. That is what corrects us. That is what corrects us. Not your opinions, not your feelings, not your ideas. It is Scripture that corrects us. And that is what Scripture is profitable for, to correct us. So we need Scripture to correct us. Without Scripture, we will not walk in the correct fashion of Yahweh. You begin to find yourself walking astray when you go back to Scripture. And Scripture will correct you. You've ever read something in Scripture that you were dealing with a certain circumstance and you were the culprit of that. And all of a sudden you go directly to Scripture. It begins to deal with your heart. It shows you what things that are in you, and that is the correction of Scripture. So Scripture is given to correct us. And what a tremendous access we have. It is an access or access to us to have Scripture. It is given by the Father. All Scripture is given by Him. It's not given by some theologian or some doctrine of the yard gifts. It is given by the Father. It was not given by holy prophets, but as the Spirit of Yahweh moved upon the holy men, they wrote. So it was not something that was conjured in the mind of man, or man was inspired by his own intuition, his intellect, or his wisdom. It was given by the inspiration of the Father. He inspired the heart of man through experience, through revelation, to write Scripture. And so that is one profitable thing of Scripture. It is given unto us for correction. We must understand that it's holy. All Scripture is holy. All Scripture is holy. All the Scriptures of the text are holy. All Scripture. All Scripture. Now that must be established. It cannot be an unholy thing. It must be a holy thing, because I want to drive to one point tonight, a very simple truth that's found in Scripture. Revelation chapter 4. I want to read a few verses out of Revelation. Dealing with the holiness, or holiness unto Yahweh. Do you think that we must be holy? Do you truly believe that? Okay, I want to show us something in Scripture. Revelation chapter 4 verse 8. The Scripture here is talking about chapter 4 verse 8. It says, and the four creatures or beasts had each of them six wings about him. And the Scriptures say they were full of eyes within, and they rest not night and day or day and night, saying, they had one command, to exalt the very one that exudes holiness or kudosh. They said unto him, holy, 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 Yahweh Almighty, or El Shaddai, which was and which is and which is to come, the rule of all things. Now this is the express character of Yahweh. He is holy. And everything about him is holy. He is not an unholy thing. And everything he touches, he makes it holy. So he is holy. And that is one of his attributes. A holy creator. Well, what is that? Do you understand that word holy? It's a very simple definition to the word holy. Oh, holiness unto Yahweh. It is a mindset, a character, and a heart that is apart from the general populace or the desire of the world. It is set apart to do one thing. And that is to exalt the Father, to bless Him, to worship Him, to praise Him, and to acknowledge Him. That's what holiness is. And that is a holy mind, a holy character, and a holy desire that is to please the Father and to acknowledge Him in all things, to bless Him with mighty reverence that you will bestow upon no one else. You can't bestow it upon any man, any personality. It is only bestowed upon Him. He is holy. He is truly holy, saints. I want to drive this definition into our minds. He is holy. There is nothing unclean about the Father. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. You can't bring Him down and make Him some four-footed creature or something like as man as we have done. We have brought Him down and relegated Him to our own little corner or our own little place and say, when I say jump, you jump. But that's not so. He doesn't operate that way. Not at all. He made you, and not you yourself, nor did you make Him. So you don't instruct Him. He instructs us by Scripture. And Scripture corrects us. Not traditions, not attitudes, Scripture. Not how you feel, how you think, but Scripture. Scripture is what corrects us. It is very profitable for your correction. Scripture is. Not how you think you ought to react, what Scripture says. That is our law of correction. That is our law. Not in your ability to cipher or determine what is the right road to take. Scripture will instruct us. Why? Because that is the only thing that the Spirit of Yahweh can instruct us in, and that is Scripture. He cannot instruct us in anything outside of the parameter of Scripture. The Spirit of Yahweh will not speak anything unto us outside of the parameter of Scripture. And that's what He does. Scripture. Revelation chapter 15, verse 4. One of the last seven plagues that shall come upon the face of the earth. I want you to hear this. Revelation 15, 4. It says, who shall not fear thee, O Yahweh? Anyone has a KJV? What does it say? Who shall not fear thee? How is that spelled? Capital L-O-R-D. Who shall not fear thee, O Yahweh? And who shall not honor thy name? Now if a man fears Yahweh, he honors his name. I know what it says in the KJ. It says, who shall not glorify or glorify thy name? Well, who shall not honor his name? When a man truly fears the Father, he honors his name. When you don't fear him, and that is the reverence that ought to be bestowed upon him, you will not reverence his name. His name is a very detestable thing. You take no delight in his name. It's not a source of strength. It's not a sweet thing in your mouth. Because there is no reverence for him. This is Scripture. He says, for thou only art holy. For he alone is holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee. For thy judgments are made manifest. Only he alone is holy. Well, how do we get to that place whereby we can walk in the holiness of Yahweh? It is only by his Spirit. We must have the Spirit of the Father, because that what he has strived to himself, it is apart from every God, every Lord, every being. There is no other God. There is no other being that has any holiness or apartness from other gods. They have all things in common. Yahweh says, I'm the mighty one. I am the Yah Shaddai. There's no one any mightier than me. No being, no power. And that is why that accolade of holiness, Kadosh, Kadosh of the Yahweh, is bestowed upon him. And when a man realizes the very power of this mighty Creator and what he has done, laying aside all of his logics and thinking, laying aside all of his tradition, he began to rely upon what Scripture says and obey Scripture. And that is his love and his reverence for the Father, because he does what Scripture says. If a man says he loves Yahweh, keeps not his commandment, then the man is a flat out liar. And that is what Scripture does. It corrects us and brings us into that place whereby we will do the things that he has charged and commanded us to do. So his name is an honorable name, he says. But he is holy. And for thou art holy. You alone are holy. He needs no one else to be holy. He is still holy. He is still pure without us. He needs no one else to establish his purity, his righteousness, and his holiness. I want to move on. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Now we understand these revelations of these truths are some of the last or the end time truths that shall be revealed. And the great manifestation of destruction that shall come upon the face of the earth. And when all things shall be restored back unto the kingdom, beauty, and majesty. This is a transitional time of great trials, tribulation. And yet there is a remnant of hope in the midst of that, shall personify the very purity of Almighty Yahweh. Revelation 26, it says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Is that what Scripture says? Is that true? Do you believe that? Do you honestly believe that? He said, blessed and holy are those that have part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of Yahweh and of Messiah, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. They shall be priests of Yahweh. Blessed and holy are they that have part in the first resurrection. That's what the Scripture says. It calls them holy. An attribute that is bestowed upon Almighty Yahweh. He alone, thou alone, art holy. And that is a reverence that is bestowed only upon him. Well, how can that be unto us then? Because Scripture tells us that all the families of heaven and earth, all of us, bear the name of the Father. They have that name. I will show you what Scripture says. Revelation 21 verse 2. Revelation 21 verse 2. Yohanan says, and I, Yohanan, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, come down from Yahweh out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Do you think that we're going into a place that is unholy and unclean? Scripture calls it holy because it is the character of Almighty Yahweh. We are the sons of Yahweh, and we must bear forth the same character that He bears. We cannot bear forth an unholy character or an unclean character because He is not unclean. He is not. We must be holy saints. Do you hear that? Well, because the hour of great judgment is upon the face of the earth. And that shall be what Scripture calls the great judgment of Almighty Yahweh. And He shall judge every nation for everything that has been done in these physical tabernacles. He's going to judge them. And the hour of judgment, this is what Scripture says in Revelation 22 verse 11. This time is at hand. Revelation 22:11. It says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. You that are holy, in this hour, he said, those that are holy, on that judgment, in that day of great retribution upon man, if you're found filthy, you're going to be filthy. If you are unjust, you're going to be found unjust. If you're filthy, you're going to be found filthy still. Or if you're righteous, you're going to be found righteous still. And you that are holy, let them be found in that character, being holy. Holiness unto Yahweh is not a small attribute. It is the fullness of His power. Because the mind is set apart from the things of this world and the lust and the care of this world. The heart is not enraptured by these filthy, beggary elements of the world. But the mind is set forth on the reverence of the Father to bless Him, to extol Him for the mighty works that He has done, taking a clay body as Messiah, and in that body granted unto us an eternal hope that nothing can shake. Nothing at all. That is why it is important that we study Scripture, and everything that we understand must be in light of Scripture. Scripture must enlighten or give us light to that understanding. And if Scripture doesn't give us light to that understanding, then it's not the wisdom of Almighty Yahweh. That's why there are so many traditions today and things that have not been sent forth by the Spirit or the anointing of the Father. Now I want to go back to Romans. Romans. Chapter 1, verse 1. You'll move with me quickly. I want to read a few scriptures tonight. Because there's one simple truth of His holiness I want to bring out to us in a simple way. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. And verse 2. Shaul, a servant of Yahshua Messiah. He was a servant now. You notice what it said? He was a servant of Yahshua Messiah. Called to be an apostle, separated or set apart unto the preaching of the message of Yahweh, or separated unto the message of Yahweh. Now he was an apostle, he was a servant of Messiah. He was set apart. He was set apart to be a to bring forth or to preach this profound truth of Yahweh. Well, what is this truth of Yahweh? The hope of Messiah. If that is the message of Yahweh, that He sent His Son in flesh to redeem us unto Him, and that men may worship Him, honor Him, and reverence the Almighty Creator. For Messiah was created in the belly of the womb of Mary. He was born like any other man. And He sent forth something that was so spectacular that we know it could not have been done by the strength of man, but it had to be done by the strength of Almighty Yahweh. Not by the strength of gods, but by the Father. So He's set forth to preach this hope of this message that Yahweh has sent in the promise of Messiah. He says in verse 2, which He had promised afore by His prophets in the what? Holy Scriptures. So we know that the scriptures are holy. The scriptures are holy, saints. Every scripture is given by whose inspiration? Yahweh's inspiration. So is every scripture holy? I don't know what man has done with their pagan ways and try to inject pagan idioms and things like that. They've done a good job. And yet Yahweh, because of His Spirit, He leads us by His Spirit, saints. He does. And it's one thing that He's going to restore unto Himself. He's going to restore the magnitude of His power. That men shall know who He is. Whether they worship Him or not, they're going to know that there's only one mighty Creator. And He's not going to be Allah. He's not going to be Jesus. He's not going to be Lord. He's going to be the one that created all things. And that is Yahweh. That is His name. Yahweh. Shaul goes to say in Romans chapter 7 verse 12. Now all scripture is holy. The holy scripture. That says that. The holy scriptures in Romans 1 2. But look what it says in Romans 7 12. Romans 7:12. It says, wherefore the law is unholy. It says the law is holy. And the what? Commandment is holy. And it is what? And it's also what? It's just, it's good. The law is holy. The commandment is holy. And it is just and it is also good. How do I know it's good? Because every good and perfect gift comes from where? From above. It comes from Yahweh. The Father light. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him. So the law is good and judgment is good. His commandment is good. So everything He commands us is good. Why? Because it has come by His inspiration. He did not speak to you because of your inspiration. He spoke because it is His inspiration. It is His word that inspires Him. Not only does He love His word, but He likes His word. His word inspires Him. It causes His heart to be motivated. The word of Yahweh. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. Ephesians 1 4. Shaul says, according as He hath chosen us. Do you believe that? That Yahweh chose us in Him. When? When it says? When? 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 Before the foundations of the world, that we should be what? That we should be what? Holy and with blame. Without blame before Him in what? So He chose us before the foundation of the world. In Him. That we should be holy. We should be apart. Set apart. Our minds should not think like the world's. Our desires should not be like the world's. Our hearts should not be motivated like the world. And the things of the world ought not to motivate us or inspire us. They simply remove us away from the love and the hope of Yahweh. The world can never inspire you. Our inspiration comes by Scripture. Those that are truly His. And if we're being inspired by anything else that is taking you away from Scripture. I don't care what it is, if you're inspired by anything else, if there's such a driven desire for anything to occupy your mind above Scripture, that you don't have the mind of Messiah. You can't please the Father that way. Not one bit at all. He tells us in Ephesians 4:30. Now you can search these scriptures and in the context that I convey this to you, you go back and look at these scriptures again. Ephesians 4 verse 30. Hear the word of Yahweh tonight. Let it sink down into your soul because I want to show us something that is simple and true. And if we don't obey it, He says that the law is holy. This is all new covenant that I'm reading. Is it not? He said that the law is holy and the commandment is holy. So whatever Yahweh commands us to do, is that holy? If He tells us to love our brothers as we love ourselves, is that holy? Is that holy? So whatever He commands us to do, His law, it is a holy statute. He says in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of Yahweh, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You tell me that the Spirit of Yahweh is even holy? He is holy and His Spirit is holy. Well, we know that Yahweh is a Spirit. So is there anything unholy about Him? Nothing at all. I want you to hear this, saints. We cannot grieve the Spirit of Yahweh. Not at all. He says in Ephesians 5:27, Yahweh, that he might present to himself a mighty powerful assembly, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now that's what Yahweh is going to present to himself. An assembly, a tabernacle, without spot and blemish, and it shall be holy. It shall be clean. It shall be apart from the religious harlotry of this hour. She's going to be just like a bride, a bridegroom, a bride prepared for her bridegroom. Spotless, without sin, without any kind of blemish in her mind, any kind of desire for anyone else. Now that is what a pure bride has. Her mind is clean. Her thoughts are pure. There is no desire for any other to entertain her at all. And so she is presented unto the bridegroom as a spotless thing, without any corrupt thing in her hearts. Nothing at all. Not anything. And so he's going to present to himself this magnificent, wonderful thing that we call the assembly, or his house, the tabernacle of Yahweh. And it's going to be pure. It's going to resonate with his attribute of holiness. It's not going to be like any other whorehouse upon the face of the earth. It will not have any spot, no spot on the gown, no blemish, nor any unclean thing. It shall be pure, white, clean. There are no superlatives or adjective verbs to express the very beauty of this mighty thing that Yahweh is about to do. And that is the key characteristic of it. Holy. Why? Because he is holy. Kephar says in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy. 1 Peter 1:15. Now Yahweh has called us to be sons. It says, but as he which hath called you is holy, this is a command to us, so be ye holy in all manner of your conversation, what you say, your life, your lifestyle. You all believe that? I believe that, saints. Do you truly, honestly believe that? We're not here for any kind of pretense. I'm not here for a pretense. I'm here because I believe that my soul is in jeopardy. My soul, I believe that. We cannot miss him on one thing at all. We cannot be here for some kind of religious euphoria or some feeling. We cannot be here to express our flesh. We must assemble ourselves to express the gratefulness and the thankfulness unto this mighty one that has called you, has written your name down before the foundation of the earth, and has sealed you with a spirit that is so clean and so pure, he tells you not to grieve it with the corrupt things of the world. He that hath called us, he is holy. And he that hath called you is holy. So he tells you to be holy in all manner of conversation. Why? Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Do we believe that? Do you believe that? I believe that. Is that not a command unto us? Is that not a law to be holy, for he is holy? That's the law of Yahweh. And we must be holy, like he is holy. So if he is holy, there's nothing unholy about the Father. Everything about Yahweh is holy. Everything. His character is holy. His identity is holy. And I want to tell you something, even his name is holy. His name is holy. If you deny him and his holiness, you deny the holiness of his character. Look what scripture says. It says in Psalms 33, verse 20. I want to read a few scriptures for you. Psalms 33, verse 20. David cried. He said, my soul, or our soul, waiteth for Yahweh. He is our help and our shield. And Yahweh is our help and our shield. He's a help in time of trouble. This is what he says in verse 21. He said, for our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. He said for us to be holy. And in order for us to be holy, we must carry the seal and the sign of that mighty holy name. His name is holy. And what this pagan world has done is tried to take away the reverence of the Father's name. And they have stolen, taken His identity out. If He has a holy name, don't you know that that name ought to be reverenced? It ought to be esteemed above every name. David said, my soul wait on You, Father. For my soul, I know that You are help to my soul and You are my shield. For my heart rejoice in You, Father. Why? Because we have trusted in His holy name. Just that name alone, we have trusted. We have been ostracized. The enemy has come against us, but we still trust in that name. I trust in that name today because Messiah did not preach no other name but the name of the Father. He did not take anything away from that name. For in that name you found the peace or the comfort and the security of one's heart because He gave us a sure salvation. That is what Messiah gave us, to let us know that Your way has certainly, before the foundation of the world, signed our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, and this is the assurance of it. I come to bring you assurance. I come to bring you assurance and to reveal the mighty power of Almighty Yahweh. I come in the strength, the power, and the authority of no other name but that holy name. The name that is so holy that He will not allow Yahuda to announce it, and men that are vile cannot even announce it. He said, I proclaim the name of my Father. Who is your Father? Yahweh. And that did stir the waters there. That caused all hell to break loose. You must understand, the princes of this world did not even know. Because if they had known, they would have never crucified. They would have never touched Messiah. They had no revelation of that enlightened truth. None whatsoever. If they had understood the power of what He was about to do, they would have never nailed Him to that stake. They would have never did what they did. They would have never did that. Even that was hidden from them. They could not see the profound power of that. Why? Because Shaitan had always manifested himself in the form of gods unto men. But the name of Yahweh is holy. And for us to deny that name, we say that He is not holy. Scripture says in Psalms 99, His name is holy. You can't deny the attribute of His character. When you deny His name, you say He's not holy. And He wants us to be holy like Him. That's why His name is going to be in the foreheads of the saints. He's going to put His name in the saints, His children. Psalms 99 verse 2, it says, Yahweh is great in Zion. And He is high above all the people. He is high above the people. You can't relegate Him down to some natural clan, to the black clan, the white clan, the Yardim clan. You can't relegate Him down to that. He's above all people. He said, let them praise Thy great and terrible name. Why? Why must we praise His name? He says, for it is holy. For His name is holy. He means for us to praise His great and it's a terrible name. You don't know the power of that name. You don't understand the hope in that name. David understood the hope in that name. And that's what Messiah came to give us. And this pagan stuff they call Christianity, it has drawn the mind of man away from serving Yahweh to serving the God of this world. How do you know? Because it gives them everything. Their lustful, wicked heart's desire. It tells them that. Here's what Shaitan said to Messiah. Bow down and worship me. I give you all the things of the kingdom. And this world is enraged with getting and having more. The heart is never satisfied. It is never content. So don't tell me that this is the spirit of Yahweh. It is not. His name is great. It is a terrible name. And it is holy. He said, the king's strength also loveth judgment. He said, I want you to know my strength. For I love judgment. We despise judgment, don't we? Well, Yahweh loves judgment.
We don't want nobody to judge us. We don't want our attributes to be shown to us. We don't want our sins and the corruption. What a great blessing it is to show your weaknesses, that you may begin to work on those things to strengthen your faith. What a great thing. And that's what Scripture does. It shows us that. And the reason we walk in rebellion is against Scripture because we do not receive the Word of Yahweh. We reject the Word of Yahweh. And when we reject His truth and will not obey it, we're going to walk in rebelliousness and stubbornness. There's a witchcraft spirit of idolatry and iniquity is working in your heart because you're going to do your own thing. And that's what this religious whore has done. That's why you got every variation of Baptist, every variation of holiness, every variation of apostolic and Pentecostal. It is not of the Spirit of Yahweh. No holiness at all. They dress no different than the world. They act no different than the world. They do the same things the world does. They're swine just like the world. Their desires no different. How is that holiness unto Yahweh? The holiness of Yahweh, it is a heart and a mind that is set apart from the things of this life. But there is an eternal hope that Messiah has given unto us, and we're sure of that. Why? Because the great, terrible, and holy name of the Father seal that truth in that body of clay. And that's our hope of promise. That's our hope of promise. It is a living hope. It is a hope that is alive. The song says, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. He lives. How do I know? Because He said in 3 days I will get up. And He got up. How? Well, the Spirit of the Father quickened Him. Yahweh said, get up. And His word, by His immutability, He cannot lie. He said in 3 days He shall get up. And He got up. He got up out of the grave. And that gave us assurance, no fear of death. Death has no torment over us at all. I've watched these brothers done. I've never seen one in torments. I've never seen one tormented. I've never seen them tormented in sin. Never. That's the assurance that Messiah, as He destroyed the powers of darkness and flesh, the works of hell, He destroyed it in the body of that clay body. He destroyed it. If it had came any other way, then the sacrifice for us would have been insufficient. That's why He could not send a milak. He had to come in the power of that strength of flesh. And the weakness, the frailty of it, the uncertainty of it. But the hope and the strength was in the one that sent Him. He had to do the will of the one that sent Him. And He had to bestow the praise and the worship upon the one that sent Him. And men don't do that today. They all worship God, but they don't know the Holy One of Israel. He is the only Holy One. He declares that. He said, I am set apart from Zeus, Jesus, and every last one of them. I am apart from every last one of them. Gad, Mini. He said, there's no other one like me. Asheroth, Molech, Molcom. He said, there is no other one. I am apart from them. They are there, and I'm here. And in me is the hope of life. No other place you're going to find it. No other place. He says the king's strength also loves judgment. He does establish equity. Thou executeth judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Verse 5. Exalt ye Yahweh our Father. Do you understand what that means? To exalt Him. To lift Him up highly. And worship at His footstool. Why? Why will we worship then? For He is holy. For He is holy. If He is holy, then His name cannot be unholy. His name expresses who He is and what He is. He is Yahweh. There is no beginning and no end to me. I am, and I was before because I am. And so that is what His name expresses. Express who He is. And knowing that, it gives us a great comfort in the one that is in control of our destiny. The one that controls our lives. I can rejoice in that. I see what David said, my soul waiteth on thee, O Yahweh. You are my help and my shield. You know, folks quote this verse all the time, but they don't believe it. Psalms 103, verse 1. Oh, they quote this everywhere. We sing the song.
Psalms 103 verse 1. It says, bless. What does it say in the KJ? Bless Yahweh. Even if you use that expression, bless the Lord. Okay? He is not Lord. O my soul, and what? And all that is within me. Now what are you going to bless? Bless what? That's what scripture says. That is our correction. Not our tradition or our feeling. This is our correction. Bless Yahweh. Oh my soul, you bless him. Do you hear that, saints? Do you hear the beauty of that? Bless Yahweh. Oh my soul, and he breathed the breath into man, and he became a living soul. Do you understand the strength and the hope of your life? It is the breath of Yahweh. And so you say, I bless you, Yahweh, all the breath that is in me. He says, bless thy holy name. Bless his holy name. Bless thy holy name. For his name is holy, saints. You must bless his name. His name must be blessed. You must exalt his name. You must bless his name. The world is exalting every god there is. They exalt the football god, the basketball god. They exalt every god. They go on a frenzy about their gods. They cry, they worship, they bow down. They will sell their souls for a season ticket, for a basketball or football game. And you tell me Yahweh has given us a hope of eternal life? And we cannot exalt him and allow your soul to bless him. And every breath that is within you, bless his holy name. Isn't that amazing that these corrupt whorehouses will take a verse like this out of scripture. And yet they will not carry through what the verse says. It tells you to bless his name. It tells you to bless his name. And his name is not Jesus. His name is not Lord. His name is not Adonai. It said bless his name. Bless his name. Why? Because his name is holy. That's why you bless it. You set it apart from every other name. His name is holy. So you bless that name. You rejoice in that name. You extol that name. You deny that you deny him. All scripture is given by the inspiration of Yahweh. And it is profitable for doctrine, for instruction, and correction. Correction, see. It takes scripture to correct us. Well, I know it says that, but that's not what it means. You are a fool. That's what it means. You can't add anything to that. That is so simple that even a child can understand. Isn't that simplicity of truth? Isn't that a simple scripture? The Psalm of David. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and all that is within me, all that is within you. Your breath, your life, all that. At times you need to bless him with all that is within you. Bless his holy name. How do we deny that? How do we deny that? Well, that's the name Jesus. That is a lie from hell. That is a Luciferian ploy. Decoy. It is not the truth. Psalms 105 verse 1. Look at the simplicity of the scripture. You see, that's why I wanted to establish the strength of what holiness is. You deny that his name is holy, then you are not holy. You're going to hell. That's the truth. You deny the holiness of his character, you are not holy. Because his name is him. Psalms 105 verse 1. It says, oh, give thanks unto Yahweh. Isn't that what it says? It tells you to call upon what? It says call upon what? Now when you can't do that, then something is wrong in your spirit. Oh, give thanks unto Yahweh, call upon his name. And it tells us to make known his deed among the people. For he is mighty, he is good to me. He has given me breath today. He has resurrected the hope in my life. He says, sing unto him in verse 2. It says, sing psalms unto him.
You don't have to make up anything. You just have to go to the Psalms and sing a psalm unto the Father. That's how every service started off in the tabernacle. They sang a psalm. He says, talk ye of all his wondrous work. Tell of his good works that he has done. This almighty and so powerful that only the heart of Yahweh can express his wonderful works. It says, utter ye in his holy name. I know what it says in the KJ. It says, glory ye in his holy name. Or magnify in his holy name. His name is holy. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek your way. We need to make known his mighty name. It's a holy name. His name is holy, saints. His name is apart from every name. His name is not a part of the name Jesus. You can't find it. And this lying, corrupt whore today, it deceives the masses of the people. They want it that way, and Yahweh is giving it to them that way. They want rulers and leaders that way. And he's giving them men that will corrupt them and lead them down a dark pit of error into hell. Even when they hear the truth, they will fight against the truth of Yahweh. And Yahweh has hardened their hearts. He has given them ears. Don't tell me that he doesn't do that. Well, his love is unconditional. That's a lie from hell. He's given them ears that they hear not. He's given them eyes that they cannot see at all. And this is a generation that hears everything, but it cannot hear the word of Yahweh. It cannot hear scripture. They see every kind of vile thing there is, and yet they cannot see the darkness of their own soul and how lost they are. He's given them ears they can't hear. He doesn't intend for them to hear. You're going to have a preacher in this hour to hear. The man is going to have to stand in the authority of Yahweh. And you'd rather know him that labor amongst you. He's got to be a clean man. He's got to walk in the fear and admonition of Yahweh. And the way you know that he will not spare the rod of Yahweh. He will declare the truth, this mighty power. He will not shun the scripture. He will speak for thus saith the scripture. Because it is our correction. And in this hour we're going to have to dig deep in the scripture. Not dig in the trash piles, but in scripture. The name of the Father is holy. His name is a great name. It's a name of reverence. And we must exalt that name. We must make that name known unto man. Any man asks a question, you must give the truth and tell the truth. You cannot substitute him with some pagan identity. Isn't that some tremendous revelation as Isaiah talks about Gad and many? You look it up in any good Webster dictionary. Look up the word God. I don't care whether you look it up capital G-O-D or small G-O-D. It will tell you the enunciation or the pronunciation of that word is God. G-A-D. It's in every dictionary. Good, G-U-D. And they have taken, as they have always done, hear me, saints. This is what this religious establishment has done. Look at everything that Catholicism does. Look at the pagan idioms and the pagan worship practices that is in that Jezebel, that harlot. And they took that pagan name and said, because this is what the heathens characterize as God, as they do other words. You take a message to a heathen language. The only thing they can do is associate a word in their language that they perceive what you are saying. And so they took this heathen definition of what Yahweh is, and they ascribed to him Gut or Gad. He is not that. He is not some Phoenician deity or Triumph. He is not that. And this ignorant, foolish generation, it's so ignorant, it will not look at things that are so simple. Set before their eyes, they argue with that. And they'll fight against things that are so simple. He can never be good. He can never be God. He's your way. He's your Shariah. The Almighty One. The one of great strength, and no other one can challenge his strength. That's why he said, I'm over here and don't even try it. He said, the gulf is already drawn. You can't even cross over.
You can't even do it. And immediately when Shaltan saw that he began in the realm of the earth, he began to go forth in every way he could to obscure the pitch of Almighty Yahweh. Do you not understand 400 years between Malachiah and the very prophecy of Miriam, when the Malach came to Miriam and told her the great son was going to be born? That was 400 years of great darkness. No great revelation in the earth. No profound movement of Yahweh at all. None whatsoever. The mindset had been taken on the darkness. His name was almost totally obliterated, taken out of the earth. And it was the plan of hell. Why did Yahweh allow that? Because he had an elect, a chosen seed that is not going to be possible to deceive. When he saves one, they are saved. If he have to take them to the course of hell and drag them through every affliction there is, he will do it. And they will learn to obey him by the suffering. Isn't that amazing? When a man has suffered much, he will say, well, the Lord was good to me, man. I'm going to do right. And their own religious euphoric or their own feelings, they want to do right. They always say that. They want to do right. They want to make a change and say, man, I'm going to make a change. I can't continue to live like this. Only Yahweh can change a man. He only changes those that are his. He changes into the image of his son. He changes us into the image of his son. Do you hear that? That is what the Father does. He changes us into the image of his dear son. And we must walk in that image. And it's not Jesus Christ. It's Messiah. I'll show you what scripture says. It says in Psalms 106 verse 47. Listen, David said, save us, Psalms 106, verse 47. He said, save us, O Yahweh, our Father, and gather us from among the heathens. You see what he says there? He said, gather us together with them or from. That is to set apart, isn't it? He said, gather us from the heathens. For what reason? Read that last part. To do what? To give thanks unto thy holy name. This heathen world won't allow you to do it. He said, move us from the heathens, that we can find that place where we can give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. That we can have great victory when we praise you. The world, we come into the tabernacle, we praise him, but there's no great victory. Why? Because we allow the sentiments of the world and the sentiments of the world to take strength in our hearts. That's why we got to be removed from this heathen spirit. That heathen heart that we have. Your heart is heathen. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I want scripture to correct me. Your heart will lie to you. It tells you something and you're nothing. Your heart will tell you a lie. It's one thing about a pure heart. It does not promote or any kind of pride or arrogance. The pure heart promotes a humble spirit, submissive, a joy soul. And it doesn't think very highly of itself either. It doesn't esteem itself, but it esteems others. It's not offended at esteeming others, to lifting others up, to exalt others. When you don't have a heart like that, you have the heart of hell, because Shaitan, that's what he did. He lifted up himself in pride. See, look at me. Spirit of your daddy, the devil. Save us, O Yahweh, our Father. Gather us from amongst the heathen. Gather us, Yahweh. To do one thing, to give thanks unto thy holy name. You can't remove that from scripture. That's scripture. If all scripture is holy, it's given by the inspiration. And David spoke that by the inspired heart of Yahweh. That we may give praise unto thy holy name. And not only praise, that we may triumph. As we praise your name, we may have a great victory in doing that. There's where the victory is. It's not in this trash that we call victorious living. They tell folks, you got victorious living because you're in $100,000 worth of debt, $200,000 house. That's not victorious living. That's living in bondage. Look at the 111 chapter, Psalm 111, verse 7. Psalms 111, verse 7 through 9. The work of Yahweh's hands are verity. They're sure work. And their works of judgment. And it says in that last part. Do you all have that Psalm 111 verse 7? And it says, now all of his commandments are what? Now all of them, saints. Now, all of his commandments are sure. They're established by him. He said they stand fast for a little period of time. How long? Are we living in the ever now? Sure we are. They stand fast forever and ever. And are done in what? Truth and uprightness. Now, if Yahweh does something in truth, then how can it not be established forever? It's done in truth and uprightness. It's all full of truth. How can it just be for a partial period of time? He sent redemption unto his people. Now, that's what Messiah is, the redemption of Yahweh. He has commanded his covenant or his treaty with us for how long? Forever. What an assurance, man. Thank you, Father. He didn't say for a period of time, but I like that. Forever. His covenant is forever. Holy and what? Reverence is what? His name. Now, he did that to establish his covenant forever. He says, now, I want you to know who did this. Who? Me. Well, how can you say, because I'm holy. My name is the seal of this covenant. That's what it is, saints. And that's what the enemy has done. There's no one else can give us a covenant of hope but Yahweh. It can't come through any other deity, any other God. And Messiah, in every term, let us know that. He let us know that. The Father seeks such men to worship him in spirit and truth. Be a time that you will not go to Jerusalem or in the holy hills to worship him. But he seeketh such that worship him in spirit. Who? The Father seeketh such that worship him. He taught us how to pray, our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed, holy is your name. Holy is the name of Yahweh. It's not some straggling, stray name. It isn't. His works are sure. His works are established. Psalms 145, verse 17. Psalms 145, verse 17. I believe this. It says, Yahweh is righteous. He is righteous in some of his ways. See, all of his ways. If he tells us to bless his name, his ways are, is that a righteous way? And holy is all of his work. Everything he does is holy. He doesn't do anything that is not holy. Everything Yahweh does is holy. His name is a very great name. It's a terrible name. It's a name of great reverence, and we ought to reverence it. David goes on to say in the 21st verse of the same chapter. He says, my mouth shall speak praises or praise of Yahweh. And he says, the commandment of Yahweh, and let some flesh, what he says, do what? For how long? For how long? He means what he says. Is all his ways upright and righteous? So does he mean this, let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever? He means that. He means what he says, saints. Let all flesh bless his name forever and ever. His name. And his name was established in the Torah, in the prophets, in Psalms. You can go all through the book and find his name. I know what they have done with these translations. And that's the truth. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 14. I like the way this says this. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 14. It says, thus saith Yahweh. It tells us who he is. Your Redeemer. The Holy One. Is that not capitalized in the KJ? If you have one. The Holy One of Israel. He said, for your sake have I sent to Babylon. And I have brought down all their noble. I want to show you what I can do, what he said. And the Chaldeans who cry in the ship. Verse 15, he says, I am Yahweh, your Holy One, the what? The what? The Creator of Israel and King. That's what I am. What a mighty statement. He said, I created the place. He created you, saints. We have Israel. He is the Creator of Israel. He took a massive trash, like Israel in the natural sense. He took a massive trash. We were trashy. We were filthy. You can think of yourself high-minded all you want to. You're a piece of filthy trash. You were a wicked sinner. You were a corrupt, filthy thing. We all were. Nothing good about any of us. And out of that trash, he created a
magnificent and a wonderful work that is, he's going to present it unto himself. Only Yahweh can. Only a creator can do that. Only a creator can do that. You see, it's going to take scripture to correct us and to conform us into the power of this great image that Yahweh intended for us to walk in. You know, Brother Dale said to me the other day, he said, Pastor Roberts, when I would come to that little assembly there at the Y, he said, you would preach and I would get so angry, mad at you. He said, but there's one thing that happened. He said, as I would go during the course of that week, I couldn't get it out of my mind. I couldn't shake it. It would keep a fear before me. He said, I would get angry with you. I would be mad at you. He said, but it was something about that word. I just couldn't shake it. It would trouble me. Why? Because scripture corrects. Scripture corrects. And that's what the enemy has done today. He has removed the mindset from scripture today. He's given us every kind of thing it is to take our minds and our hearts away from scripture. Something is wrong with all of us if we spend 3 or 4 hours a day gossiping and no time for scripture. Something is wrong with me if I spend 2 hours in the gym and an hour playing basketball and no time for scripture. Something is wrong. I'm not talking about reading. I'm talking about studying the scripture. That should be the predominant thing on our minds. That's the way Yahweh intends for it to be. That's our affection toward him. That's our love toward him. We show him that. When there's a love for scripture. When there's a desire for scripture. He said, I am Yahweh. And I'm the Holy One. I am, he said, your Holy One. The creator of Israel. And I'm your king. You're looking for a king. I am the king. The hearts of the king are in my hand. And as the river turneth whithersoever, he said, turn their hearts that way. And no king can turn the heart of Yahweh. No king. No whatsoever. He says in the 57th chapter, in verse 15. Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits or inhabiteth eternity. Look what it says now. It says, whose name is that a capital H there? It says, whose name is holy. He personifies holiness, or Kodosh. He personifies that. Whose name is holy. He say, I dwell in a high, and what kind of place? In a holy place. So it can't be an unholy name there. With him also that is of, and those that are with him, they are of a contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. He dwells in a holy place because his name is holy. It is his holiness protect his name. And that's why he has called us to be holy like him, that we may protect his name. We worship Yahweh, saints. We worship the Father. And the Son never took. We worship the Father through the power and the hope of the Son because we believe the testimony. That's what we do. We can't deny him. And that's what this religious world has done. They have done that. That's why it's in the quick mire that it's in. That's why there's no strength of what we call the church today. What you call the church, there's no strength. It is a commodulation of trash and idolatry, pagan worship. Sure it is. The Easter's, the Christmas, television consumption, something is wrong. But you know, there are people that stayed up at 3 or 4 o'clock this morning trying to get the latest news on the election. And yet they can't pray with Messiah 1 hour. Don't you know that's wicked? That is corrupt. That is a wicked thing, saints. And don't you see what kind of pagan things we've all had our hands in? Pagan? Wicked? Shall we touch unclean things of the world? Yahweh said, a people that is apart from the world. The profound truth that came unto Miriam in Luke chapter 1, verse 48. Luke 1. Luke chapter 1. Let me read verse 46. And Miriam said, my soul doth magnify Yahweh. There was no such one as Jesus in that hour. And when that says Lord in the KJV, it could be no one but Yahweh. That's all it is. That's all they knew.
He said, my soul shall magnify Yahweh, and my spirit hath rejoiced in Yahweh, my Savior. He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Why? For he that is mighty hath done to me great thing. And his name is what? And holy is his name. And holy is his name. There was only one name. There was no name of Jesus. There was only one name. There was only one name in Scripture. She knew because of Scripture. There was only one holy name. And that is Yahweh. There's only one holy name. And in that name you find the Son. Because in the Son is the hope of that name. There's no other name. You can't deduct Jesus from God. You can't deduct Jesus from Lord. They were talking about the basketball team. I was reading an article how that they call themselves the Lord of the Rings. The Lords, because they won the NBA championship. Lords. Mighty ones of supremacy. He is greater than a Lord. There are many Lords and you're always not a Lord. He's not a Baal. They fly high because they're gods. So they say that we are gods. And that's what this Christendom trash has taught the people. We must come out of that, Jezebel. We must come out of her traditions and her ways. We cannot touch her unclean ways and her filthy ways. We must identify them and condemn them into hell. We must do that. You cannot fraternize or flirt with her ways. Not at all, because it will damn your soul into hell. It will destroy the hope of the life in you. Yeshua says in Ephesians chapter 3. I want to close here. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3 and verse 13. Shaul says, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations, for you which is your blessing. My tribulation is a blessing to you, because your way it is appointed unto us. If we suffer with him, we're going to reign with him. He says, look what he says. Look what he says in verse 14 now. This is not what he says in your text. He said, for this cause now, I bow my knees unto who? He said, the Father. Now, who is the Father? He said, the Father of our, and they're using the KJ, our Lord Jesus Christ. But he says that Messiah has a Father. He said, I bow my knees to who? He said, I bow my knees to who? He said, I bow my knees to who? He said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father. That's, you can't get anything any simpler than that. Of Yeshua Messiah. Now look what he says in verse 15. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is what? Named. The whole family in heaven and earth is named. Is named. That's why the men, the prophets, they carried his name. Ezekiel. Jeremiah. Their fathers, they knew. They didn't make names up like we make names up today, saints. There were names of tradition and strength. There was a line, there was an ordering of those names. So they just did not make names. Oh, and that's why even Messiah, even the family of Yahweh, they all have his name. For Neesmith, all his children, they got his same name. Neesmith, Neesmith, Neesmith. If he has 5,000, they're all Neesmiths. So Yahweh has a people, and they're his people. And they're his sons and his daughters. And they all have his name where? Written in their foreheads. Why? Because his name is holy. His name is in their minds, their hearts. The desire is to bless his name. We must worship the Father, saints. We can't get around that any other way. And worship is an exhortation. It is a striving to enter into that place whereby the old saints will say, you've been touched by him. You know you've been touched by him. I can't express it no other way. And whereby he becomes so vivid and alive unto you that nothing in your carnal process of thought calls any kind of circumventing of that. He becomes so real and so vivid unto you, so alive. He must be that way to us. He must.
And that's why Messiah came, to give hope in the word that was written. Because that same word that was written, it condemned, sure did. You disobeyed, it condemned you. It brought death, and Messiah, the spirit of life in Messiah was the life of the word of Almighty Yahweh. That's what it was, and that's who he is. He brings life to this book and make it alive in the hearts of the souls of men, that they may truly honor and reverence the name of the Father and worship him, because they know who the works and who did the works. It was the Father. Because when he was baptized by Yahkahana, even the Father spoke from the heavens. He said, this is my boy here, my son, in whom I'm well pleased, because he walks in the instructions that I command him. Who spoke? It was Yahweh. It can't be Jesus. It's only one name. His name is Holy Saints. He wants us to be holy. And don't forget that. Yahweh, we bless you. May give you strength, peace. May cause your hearts to rejoice. For the hours near, the time of judgment is closer than when we first realize. And the return of Messiah to establish the kingdom of Almighty Yahweh is at hand. And it is closer than we first believe. I say to you all, as we close the service, I tell you all that are sitting here, and those that may hear this broadcast, this life in this physical realm is going to pass. Whether you believe that or not. And you better do it right and get right. You better get right. And Messiah came to show us the right way to get right. That's what he came to do, show us that. You better examine yourself and see whether you're in the faith. See whether your heart truly loves the Father. If he loves the things of the world, and your desire is the things of the world, you must do that, brothers and sisters. I warn you, for your own good. I warn you. You know, Yahweh, he hates the wicked. He hates those corruptors. The things that are abominable that he hates. But he doesn't love everyone. He's mad with the wicked every day. He's angry with them. Yahweh, bless you. Father, we thank you for all things. Bless your people. Go with them. Give all the brothers rest that have labored today in Messiah's name. Hallelujah. Yahweh, bless you.